phrase we've been talking about for Passover were, Lord, and it's chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And that phrase is just fascinating because it's Reshith Kodesh. And it means much more than just the beginning of months. That's one translation. But it means it's the highest thing that can happen for you. It's a beginning of life, really. And so the idea of it, Passover is everything to God, because without it, nothing else can happen in the spirit. And it's, in terms of us, it's no matter when you have the born-again experience, whether you're 100 or whether you're 10 or whenever it is, that's your beginning of months. It's for you the beginning of time, the most important thing that could happen. And so the whole idea of, and then he says this crazy thing. He said, look at the stars of the sky, and the number of them shall be, the number of your seed shall be greater than the number of stars. Well, there's hundreds of billions of stars. And he looked at the sand of the sea. That's the number of, so shall the number of your seed be. Well, that didn't, we've talked about it so many times. Every time a male ejaculates, it's 50 to 100 million sperm cells. That's incalculable. But the only one that you see in the type is the one that joins to an egg and becomes a child. So from that, in that parallel, that's the beginning of months or the beginning of time for that seed. And that's all I was talking about yesterday. The idea, the best the human race can be is a sperm cell of God. That's the highest order. That's why it says, present yourself the living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Well, living sacrifice is a contradiction in terms. Because wherever there's a sacrifice, there's a death. Wherever there's an altar, there's a death. The altar isn't the place you go pray. The altar is where you die. And that's then the beginning of months. Now what happened to you before that, the Holy Spirit has been trying to push you toward that time since the beginning of your self-awareness. So that's all I meant yesterday when I was talking about God vis-a-vis the human race. But we have to see that something different happens. That this will be the beginning of months. The beginning, the most important possible thing there is. What, Gary?
Well, thinking about, we're going to celebrate Passover.
That shall be for you the beginning.
But I've already celebrated.
Yeah, but each time it's the same. There's only one Passover.
But many beginnings are.
Well, no, that's all it is. It's a cycle. That's why the feast cycle. It keeps going, but it's always the same feast at the same time in terms of God. Because it's always that beginning, and we celebrate it over and over, hopefully, so that we can come to a deeper sense of repentance with each feast.
It's almost like there's two concepts of time. There's the time that we measure by going around the sun, 365, we spend 24 hours, we call that
Why does every society in the world, as far as I know, that has ever existed, they all have 7-day weeks? Why? How did that happen? Again, it's a cycle. The 7 days spiritually of linear time. So the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the seven, can be seen and understood. But the Sabbath is a person. And in that, and in him, you cease from your own labors. In him, it's finished. In him.
Yeah, time is no more.
There is no more time in him. That's all I've been saying for 40 years. Maybe I didn't say it that well, but now, by the same token, it says that God has wrought all our works in us. In other words, there's nothing that happened that the Holy Spirit didn't push you into. Now, was all that, did he care? Well, the Holy Spirit is trying to get every man and woman on the face of the earth to come to the beginning of months. But that's all he sees.
Yeah, I think I was thinking yesterday the scripture, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
No, but that's talking about us. But I mean, it could be expanded, I guess. But. John?
Okay.
Well, let me talk. Well, you obviously have some disagreement.
It's, well, I don't have a disagreement. Don't do that.
It's not obvious?
It's not. No, not to me it isn't.
All right. All right. Now, let's go to Exodus. No. Where's the Battle of the Kings? We're going to look at this, and it came to pass at midnight. Genesis 14.
I feel like we're drilling for oil here.
What?
I feel like we're drilling for oil.
What's that supposed to mean? What does that mean?
It's like this Bible study day after day after day of pressing, turning, and breaking, and reaching for the revelation, I guess you'd say, the oil, the spirit, the understanding, the clarity. But it only happens in this press and through the difficulty of confrontation often to dig deeper into your soul, your spirit, whatever, to uncover the mystery.
Well, let's put it another way then.
I'm not upset about it. I'm glad about it. This is a good thing because these are age-old mysteries.
We are exhorted to redeem the time, for the days are evil. There's only one way we can redeem time. That's by not seeing it. It's not our basis of life. It's not our basis of, you know, again, everything, every culture worships toward the east because it represents the rising sun, a new day tomorrow, their hopes and dreams will happen tomorrow. And every culture, their day begins so that the Jewish culture is the only culture that day begins at sunset. Why? Because the end of the day, you should have seen the vanity of all things. Everything in the, remember when we studied the ashes of the red heifer, everything had to be pointed toward the west, toward the end, for the sacrifice. This isn't just another religion. This isn't an option among many. Let's believe whatever you want, it doesn't matter. I know of no other form of thought that gives, and well, I, that's not true, I do know it in the,
And I don't think of this as a religion at all, and yet people think of us as religious. I know.
I just think that's funny.
Study
600 times a week. 600. I've told you a million times not to exaggerate.
Round the clock Bibles.
I mean, it's just it's so fascinating that on all of history, there's only been three monotheistic religions. And all of them came from Abraham. There was one brief pharaoh for about a month or two that was going to define one singular God, and he was overthrown quickly. No other religion whose end is the emptiness and vanity of all things. Maybe the Nirvana people, but then there's an emptiness and there's just emptiness.
No other besides what? Mm-hmm. No other?
All the some of the Eastern philosophies.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about that a minute. God promised Abraham that his seed would inherit, be the blah, 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 blah. And so he waited and waited and waited, and then Sarah was old and her womb was dead. He had zero sperm cell count, probably. And so then he said, or just before that, he said, all right, well, I've got to have a child. Sarah can't give me one, so Hagar was, she was a princess from Egypt, if you remember. She was a daughter of Pharaoh. And so he said, logically, that should then, that could be the promise. And so Ishmael was born. And then finally he understood he had to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Well, so then he selected, well, the promise must go to Eliezer, his chief steward. And God said no. And it wasn't until it was impossible for them by any human standards to have an heir that they had an heir. And the promises of God are sure. But we don't wait. If, I mean, the question is, again, going all the way back to Adam. If Eve had eaten, Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam would have been, he could have said, Father, forgive her. And we would have escaped the whole, well, we probably wouldn't have been here. But there's always, the promise of God is always sure. Our refusal to wait is universal. For us, again, it's the nature of man. It's the nature of your mind that your works have to lead you. And so, we always have a plan about something. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest Sabbath from their labors, and their works do follow them. And we can preach that till hell freezes over. Most of the time, you're not going to do it. You're not going to wait. It's ludicrous. That's why, even though it was finished from the, before the foundation of the world, and it was finished with the crucifixion of Christ, it's taken 2,000 years for God to find, to be His bride to be perfected. Because nothing that originates in the mind can have any merit. Because that's enmity against God. That's the fruit of the curse. We can't comprehend that. We're sure that there must be some good that comes from the mind. You can maybe even give some examples. But if you look at it carefully, there's always the unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences always screw everything back up. This is the thing that I want to leave you with. I'm not going to talk. I don't feel like talking anymore. It's this thing about the most important thing there is from our perspective. It's the beginning of the most important deal is Passover. Because nothing happens without the Passover. Remember, there were two Passovers from Egypt. Joseph became the Pharaoh, and his offspring became the Pharaohs. They were called the Hyksos dynasty. And then there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. What happened? I mean, it was like a regime change you can't even believe. And every descendant of Abraham that was in those positions of power, had wealth, migrated instantly. They left. That was their Passover, but it wasn't a Passover because it wasn't the beginning of anything. They took their riches with them. It was only those that had been making bricks without straw that God could use. You could only have the gospel to the poor. But poor doesn't just mean resources. Poor means ideas and opinions. The resources are easy to lose. But the idea of what you think is right, that's the battlefield. And it's a battle unto death. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what does that mean? Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, I'm not exalting. I'm thinking about God. No, you're not. Our vocation, our avocation, our purpose, our calling is Jesus Christ, Him alone. The fruit of that is transfiguration. Because He is the way, and that's the way He took. And as He is in this world, so are we. We're not, it's never us and Jesus. We want to retain opinions, philosophies, ideas. We're sure it's right. My God, I had a million of them that tried to come back after that experience. It's been a battle. But the battle isn't anything to do outside, it's this thing. And that has to be repeated in each one of us. But Passover is the beginning of months. Passover is the linchpin for everything else. We celebrated Purim earlier, but then another cycle of time, a month ago, but that was just to show us that God has been working behind the scenes no matter what you were doing. But it's all about the seed. The seed, the seed. The promises of Abraham go not to the seeds, which are many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. Anyhow, anybody have any other response? I thought we were going to get through all of these.
Tomorrow.
I was thinking about using the mind, and is there a right way? What counts to me is study to show thyself approved, righteous, abiding the word of truth.
That, you remember that word study? It wasn't study, it was peristemi. It's to present yourself the living sacrifice. It had nothing to do with study, that's a mistranslation.
Well, you said many years the Bereans were really to be commended because they went back and checked the scripture.
Right, that's a different thing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't study, I'm saying that with that scripture you quoted, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study there is peristemi, it's a mistranslation. It should be, it's a word that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. But the Bereans were commended because they searched the scriptures to see whether these things be true. These things, what? The things that Paul had told them.
Okay.
I'm not not saying they didn't study, but I'm saying in that word, in that scripture you just referenced, it wasn't studied.
Okay, well, assuming it's kind of like study in some sort of way.
Well, let's search the scriptures.
Yeah. Well, the point is, do that, and you will find yourself in Ecclesiastes saying it's all vanity, so your mind is kind of being used against itself.
Oh, yeah, that's God has a failsafe. Because remember, he said this. This is one of the most interesting things he said. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life. But it doesn't say in English, but in the emphasis is, you fools. They testify only of me.
Yeah, that's a rock.
And you won't come on to me. Because we're saving something. Got it. Something over here that's more important than this. Now, if the rock falls on, I mean, if you fall on the rock, you'll be disaster. But if the rock falls on you, it'll be as if you never existed. That's the mystery. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because it comes against everything that your mind can conceive.
Leaves you empty.
Leaves you empty. But we, again, it goes on and on and on. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you say, if not, there is no hope. For you found the life again of your own hand. Therefore, you're not grieved. Grieve to the point of repentance. All right. I said I was going to stop. I don't feel like talking anymore. 10 minutes ago. Take it, big guy.
You didn't go over, did you?